Okay, so let's start. First, we're going to chant. How about that for a surprise? Jijago, Jijago, Orichando Bodai, Koganira, Yaumaya, Pusachi. Thank you. Shimad, His Divine Grace, Abhaya Chalana, the Bhaktivananda, Goswami Srila Prabhupada Kijaya, ISKCON, Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Kijaya, Nandakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Kijaya, Namacharya, Srila Vrindas Thakur Kijaya, Premse Goh Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Sidwaita Gadada, Shivasini Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Kijaya, Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopikopanath Sayam Kunda, Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijaya, Vrindavanam Kijaya, Maturam Kijaya, Jagannatha Swami Kijaya, Yuvanamai Kijaya, Srimad Galasi Devi Kijaya, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijaya, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gaur. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Kijaya. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vacharani Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschachate Shatarani. So, we're going to continue with our reading of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're reading about the Atmarama verse, which has various permutations based upon the meanings of different words in the Atmarama verse. Okay. So, let us continue with the Atmarama verse. And this is, of course, chapter 24 of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I believe we're starting with text 61. And this is in the context of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Sanatana Goswami in Benares. How about that? That's pretty good. Okay, so let's continue. So let's go share this golf course. Omagana Timananda Shah. Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual masters, Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada, who kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So. Let's share the screen. So, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhaktavrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Okay, let's get this set up. Oh, I see what's happening here. Alrighty. Give me 1 second. Okay, we're continuing with text 61 in the 24th chapter. The 24th chapter is entitled The Atmarama Verse. And it's just very interesting. We're going very slow through it. You don't have to remember everything that we go through, but there's a lot of important philosophical points. Not only philosophical points, there's a lot of important points on Baba emotions here and on Krishna's position, tattva, siddhanta, all sorts of different things. So let's continue. Itagni su samridarchi karotidam sivashma sat tatamam visheha bhaktir Udhavainam si Krishna saha. As all fuel is burned to ashes by the full-fledged fire, all sinful activities are totally erased when one engages in devotional service to me. And this is, of course, from the Srimad Bhagavatam 11:14-19, and it's spoken by Krishna himself. So this is the point. If you engage in devotional service, you don't have to worry about your karma for pious activities. Finished. You don't have to worry about your lines on your palm. I'm not going to show you my palm. You don't have to worry about the lines on your palm. You don't have to worry about your astrology. You don't have to worry about any of that. You simply worry about pleasing Krishna. Even Namabhasjani. Kabe kare vakti varaka karma vijanasha shavanadhyera pala prema kariye prakasha. In this way, when all sinful activities are vanquished by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one gradually vanquishes all kinds of impediments on the path of devotional service as well as the ignorance resulting from these impediments. After this, one totally manifests his original love of Godhead through a devotional service in 9 different ways, hearing, chanting, and so forth. So what are those impediments? Those impediments are called what? Does anyone know? Anarthas. Anartha means something you don't want. So what don't you want? Well, you don't want to be in debt. But that's not one of the anarthas we're speaking about. The anarthas we're speaking about are spiritual impediments, lust, translated in this world as love, like we just had Valentine's Day, it's lust day. So lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, fear. So these are impediments. So there's more than that. So these are called anarthas, and by the chanting of Krishna's name and the process of devotional service, you get rid of these anarthas and you become happy. Because nobody's happy when you're lusty, you're greedy, you're envious, you're fearful, you're an illusion. You just can't be happy in such a situation like that. You're only happy when you're Krishna conscious. Although the material world is so made so you think you will be happy as soon as you achieve this particular object. Like someone is thinking, oh, when I find that perfect person, my soulmate, then I will be happy. But then they find the soulmate, and they find out, well, I guess I got the wrong one there. And they go through a whole bunch of different ones. Your soulmate is Krishna. And once you find him, you'll be happy and you can have a close relationship and he will never reject you. That's such a wonderful thing that even though You may reject him, unfortunately, because you're so stupid. He will not reject you. He'll always remain in your heart. I mean, how many friends do you have like that, that you just like kick them away, you're not interested in them, and they just stick around trying to help you and serve you? And that's Krishna. That's why Krishna says in the Gita, Bhaktaram Jagatapasam Sarvalok Maheshwaram Suridam Sarvalutanam. He's your buddy, your well-wishing buddy, no matter what you do, no matter how you treat him, no matter what consciousness you're in, Krishna will always be there for you. Isn't that cool? Krishna is always going to be there. Let me just turn up the volume because I think the volume is kind of low here. Hold on a second. Yeah, it is kind of low. Krishna will always be there. Just one second, Dita. Okay, that should be better. Okay, next verse. Nijagune tabe hare dehendriya mana aichi kripalu krishna aichi tanra guna. When the devotee is freed from all sinful material activities, Krishna attracts his body, mind, and senses to his service. Thus, Krishna is very merciful, and his transcendental qualities are very attractive. That's pretty self-explanatory. Next text. Charipurushartha chadaya gune hare sabaramana hari shabde rahe mukya kahilun lakshana. When one's mind, senses, and body are attracted to the transcendental qualities of Hari, one gives up the four principles of material success. Thus, I have explained the chief meaning of the word Hari. Four principles of material success are: 1. Religious performance. 2. Economic development, sense gratification, and 4. Liberation or merging into the impersonal effulgence of Brahman. These things do not interest the devotee. That's dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. So religious performance means just basically rituals there. For the purpose of 2. Economic development. And economic development has the purpose of sense gratification. And when you get frustrated with sense gratification, then you say, I need a vacation from this sense gratification. Bhogatyaga. And then you want to go for liberation. And generally, materially, you want to merge into the effulgence of Brahman. And the devotee's not interested in, you know, mundane religious performances or economic development unless you can get money for Krishna. Cha api dvi shabda tate avayaya haya ye artha. Oops. When the conjunctions cha and api, although, are added to this verse, the verse can assume whatever meaning one wants to give to it. The tapi cha karere karera kahimukya artha sata. The word cha can be explained in 7 ways. Oh my God. Chanva chaye samahare nyonyarte cha samuchaye yatantare tathapada purane pyavadarane. The word cha and is used to connect a word or sentence with a previous word or sentence to give a sense of aggregation, collection, to assist the meaning, to give a collective understanding, to suggest another effort or exertion or to fulfill the meter of a verse. It is also used in the sense of certainty. This is a quotation from the Vishwaprakasha dictionary. It's a Sanskrit dictionary. Abhishabde mukya harta satavyakyata. There are 7 chief meanings of the word api. They're as follows. See how Lord Chaitanya is giving different meanings to each word, and using each of those meanings with each of the meanings of the other words, he's coming out with different permutations of the meaning of the total Atmarama verse. This is really what's going on. Abhisambhavana Krishna Shankagarha Samuchaye Tathayukta Padarateshu Kamachara Kriyashucha. The word api is used in the sense of possibility, question, doubt, censure, aggregation, appropriate application of things, and extravagance. This is another quotation from that dictionary, the Vishwaprakasha. Etai kadasha padirartha nirdhya evesh lokartha kariyata ye lagaya. I now describe the different meanings of the 11 separate words. Now let me give the complete meaning of the shloka as it is applied in different places, you know, the permutations. Brahma shabdairartha tatvat sarvaburtama swarupaishvarakari nahiyanratsama. The word Brahma indicates the summum bonum, the absolute truth, which is greater than all the truths, is the original identity, and there can be nothing equal to the absolute truth. So, of course, the word Brahma means the greatest, just like it's the name of the first living entity in this universe, I mean, other than Krishna, but the first jiva soul in the universe, that's Lord Brahma. He's the greatest person. And it's also a name of Krishna, Brahma. Means the greatest, or Brahman is the greatest. Brihatvad Brimhat Hanatvascha Tadrama Panamam Viduhu Tasmai Namaste Sarvatman Yogichintya Vikaravat. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Absolute Truth, the summum bonum. He is the all pervasive, all increasing subject matter for the great yogis. He is changeless and he is the soul of all. This is a quotation from the Vishnu Purana, 11.12.57. Se Brahma Shabde Kahi Swayam Bhagavan Advitiya Jnana Yanha Vina Nahi Ana. The proper meaning of the word Brahma is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is one without a second, without whom nothing else exists. This next verse is a verse from the Bhagavatam. Vedanti tattva viras tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdite. Famous verse. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth say it is non-dual knowledge and it is called impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11 for an explanation. See Adi Leela 2.11. In other words, important. It's actually one of the real nutshell verses, not the essential nutshell verses in the Bhagavatam, but it's a really important verse. That's why I call it a nutshell verse. Vedanti tattva viras. Those who know the truth understand in the non-dual nature of the absolute truth, there's three aspects. Brahman means basically the undifferentiated absolute truth. Then Paramatma means the localized, like the super soul in everyone's heart. And Bhagavan means Krishna. And Krishna's various Vishnu Tattva expansions. Se Advaya Tattva Krishna Swayam Bhagavan Tina Kali Satyatino Shastra Pramana. That absolute truth without a second is Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Excuse me. He is the supreme truth in the past, present, and future. That is evidence of all revealed scripture. Sorry, I got hiccups. And now we're getting to one of the nutshell verses of the Bhagavatam. Actually, the first one. It's embarrassing to have hiccups in the middle of class. Aham eva sameva gre nanyad yat sarasat param paschad aham yad itatscha. Very important verses. The first of the nutshell, the four nutshell verses of the Bhagavatam. Prior to the cosmic manifestation, only I exist, and no phenomena exist. By the gross, subtle, or primordial, after creation, only I exist in everything, and after annihilation, only I remain eternally. So in other words, Krishna Narayana Pura Vyakta, Krishna is transcendental. That's all. This verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.33 was spoken by Lord Krishna for an explanation. See Adi Leela 1.53. It's the first of the nutshell. The nutshell verses are the four verses that were spoken from which, by Krishna, from which Lord Brahma expanded the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. Very important verse. and all four of them are actually quite important. So Atma Shabde Kahi Krishna Brihatva Sarupa Sarva Vyakapaka Sarva Sakshi Panama Sarupa. The word Atma self indicates the highest truth, Krishna. He is the all-pervasive witness of all, and he is the supreme form. Atatvaccha matritvad atmahi paramo harihi hari. The supreme personality of Godhead is the all-pervasive original source of everything. He is therefore the super soul of everything. This is a quotation from the Bhavarta Dipika Sridhar Swami's commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. Sei Krishna Prapti Hetu Trivira Sadhana Jnana Yoga Bhakti Tinera Pratak Lakshana. There are three ways to attain the lotus feet of the Absolute Truth, Krishna. There is the process of philosophical speculation, the practice of mystic yoga, and the execution of devotional service. Each of these has its different characteristics. In other words, by philosophical speculation, you get to the Brahman effulgence. By practicing mystic yoga, you get to the Paramatma realization, that means God in everyone's heart. And by the execution of devotional service, you get Bhagavan relationship. You have a relationship with Bhagavan, of course. And then you have an intimate relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tina sadhane Bhagavan, tina sarupe vase, Brahma Paramatma, Bhagavata Trivada Prakashe. The Absolute Truth is the same. But according to the process by which one understands him, he appears in three forms as Brahman, that's the impersonal aspect, Paramatma, the Lord in everyone's heart, and Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes, Prabhupada has given the example of Vaidurya stone, which is a stone, if you look at it from different angles, appears differently. I mean, practically any stone is like that. If a stone is not regularly shaped, you look at it from different angles, or practically anything in this world. Like if you look at the rear end of an elephant without seeing the rest of the elephant, it looks like one thing. You take the front end, it looks like one thing. If you look at the belly, it looks like one thing. So there's these three aspects of the Absolute Truth. And of course, we are interested in Bhagavan. What does the word Bhagavan mean? Bhaga means opulences, and van means to be full or complete. So Krishna is complete in all opulences, especially in wealth, and strength, and renunciation, and knowledge, and fame, like this. And finally, beauty. So, text 81. Oh. The same verse. Tatvavdanti tat tatvavidas tatvam yad yanamadvayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdate. It's the same verse we just read before. Learned transcendentalists who know the Absolute Truth say that is non-dual knowledge is the equal name. Personal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and the personality of Godhead. Brahma atma shabde yadi krishne re kakehaya rudi vritche nirvive Nirvishesha Antaryami Kaya. Although the words Brahman, Atma indicate Krishna, their direct meaning refers only to the impersonal Brahman and the Super Soul, respectively. Yanamarge Nirvishesha Brahma Prakashe Yogamarge Antaryami Sarupe Te Vase. If one follows the path of philosophical speech, this is what I just said, the Absolute Truth manifests himself as impersonal Brahman. If one follows the path of mystic yoga, he manifests himself as the Super Soul. Super Soul is called Paramatma. That means the Supreme Soul. Super Soul is in everyone's heart. In everyone's heart, there are two souls. There's the Super Soul, who is expansion of Krishna, Paramatma. And then there is me. Not me in everyone's heart. There's you, me, the jiva soul. And the description in the Upanishads is that these two souls are sitting on the same tree of the body, and the tree is compared as a tree. The body is compared to a tree. And there's souls, the two souls are compared to two birds. And one bird is trying to eat the fruits of the tree. That's us. And the other bird is watching. When will that stupid jackass turn back to me? That was Krishna. Is Krishna. Ragabhakti Biribhakti Ayadvi Rupa Swayam Bhagavatve Bhagavatve Prakashadvi Rupa. There are two kinds of devotional activities. We heard about this many times before. Spontaneous and regulative. By spontaneous devotional service, one attains the original personality of God in Krishna. By the regulative process, one attains the expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, okay, let me be very specific about this. One may be thinking, I'm not going to follow the regulations because I want to get to Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, not one of his expansions. Well, I got news for you. Several things. Before you could become spontaneous, you got to follow the rules and regulations, number one. And number two, is even if you become spontaneous, which is a little doubtful, not doubtful, you will, then you still follow the rules and regulations. Why? To set a good example for others. If you don't get up from Mangalarti and you're a leader, ain't no one going to get up from Mangalarti. Remember that. Yadyada charity shrestas tatat evetaro janaha. As the leaders act, other people follow. And I gave you that example that one time, Prabhupada, he was taking some 7-Up. Now, if you don't know what 7-Up is, it's a fizzy drink, like lemon, and it has some bubbles in it. It's a carbonated drink and a little sugar or a lot of sugar. And Prabhupada got it on the airplane one time and he liked it. He said, very nice. And so later on the devotees offered him some, very nice. And the devotees were thinking, wow, this means that 7-Up is a spiritual drink. They were using what Prabhupada was doing as an excuse for sense gratification, you know, give people an inch, and they take a mile, so the next day or next few days, a big soda delivery truck arrived at the New York temple with a bunch of 7-Up for all the devotees. It became part of Vaishnava drinks. That's very interesting. That if Prabhupada did something, then people imitate. But Prabhupada, he did a lot of things for his health, and you know, so devotees like to imitate Prabhupada, his mannerisms, his way of walking. And that's impersonalism, because we are not Prabhupada. Prabhupada is Prabhupada. And Prabhupada is an individual who had his own likes and dislikes. It's not that you have to like all the relative things that Prabhupada liked. I mean, you have to like Krishna, but there's relative things like Prabhupada liked potatoes. I don't like potatoes, or at least they're fattening. So, does that mean I'm in Maya because I don't like potatoes? No. It just means that I'm an individual, and Prabhupada's an individual. And as individuals, we are entitled to our particular tastes and likes and dislikes on the relative platform. Of course, I like Krishna. Prabhupada likes Krishna. That's the absolute platform. The relative platform, there's differences. What do you expect? It's not that everything the pure devotee does is absolute. Of course, the pure devotee is always acting to please Krishna, but not that everything he does is an absolute pastime or something that other people should imitate or indicates an absolute truth. Ragavache braje swayam bhagavane paya. By executing spontaneous devotional service in Vrindavan, one attains the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as we mentioned before, spontaneous devotional service comes when one achieves the stage of steadiness in devotional service, nishtha. And then one begins to understand what one's or who one's or what one's spiritual identity is in the spiritual world. And then one begins to understand who one should follow as a service exemplar in the spiritual world, and which mood you should serve that particular individual. And that's called spontaneous devotional service, or Raga Nuga Bhakti. When one performs Raga Nuga Bhakti, serving or meditating on a Ragatma, eternal servant of Krishna in the spiritual world, then one can go back to Godhead and go back to Goloka Vrindavan. Otherwise, you go to the Vaikuntha planets. But don't worry about that right now. Don't think you have to give up your regulated principles so you can go back to Godhead instead of the Vaikuntha planets. You'd be lucky to go to the Vaikuntha planets. You'd be lucky to even go to the temple. You know, people are so worried about going to the Vaikuntha planets instead of Goloka Vrindavan, but they can't even wake up from Mangal Arati. First things first, Prabhu. Nayam shukabo bhagavan deinam gopika sutaha yanninam chatmutanam yatavati matam iha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, is accessible to those devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service, but he is not as easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body to be the same as the self. Because it's from Bhagavatam 10.9.21, spoke by Śrīla Śukadeva Goswami for an explanation. See the Majjhima 8.2.2.7. Vidhi bhakte purush shaladehe vaikunte te yaya. By executing regulated devotional service, one becomes an associate of Narayana and attains the Vaikuntha lokas, the spiritual planets in the spiritual sky. That's why I said, if you don't progress from regulated devotional service at the right time, but still you follow the rules and regulations, I set an example, but if you don't progress at the right time, then you go to Vaikuntha. That's not a bad thing. Yeah, Kunta. Right now you're filled with Kunta. Kunta means anxieties. So you can say, well, he just went to Vaikuntha. He's in Maya. No, he's not. Yatcha vrajanchani visham vishabhanu vritcha dureya mayuparina svihani ashila bhartumitasu yashasha Katananuraga Vaiklavya Vashpakalaya Pulaki Kritanga. Those who discuss the activities of Lord Krishna on the highest platform of devotional life, and they show the symptoms of tears in the eyes and bodily jubilation. Such persons discharge devotional service to Krishna without practicing the rules and regulations of the mystic yoga system. Mystic yoga system. They possess all spiritual qualities and they're elevated to the Vaikuntha planets which exist above us. So in the spiritual world, of course, you have the Vaikuntha planets and then Goloka Vrindavan. Vaikuntha planets, Krishna's worship generally in the mood of awe and reverence, and in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna's worship in the mood of intimacy. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam in this verse. Lord Brahma is speaking to all the demigods who fear the two asuras, demons, in Diti's womb. That's Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Lord Brahma described the Kumara's visit to Vaikuntha, and this was again explained by Maitreya, the friend of Vyasadeva, when he gave instructions to Vidura. Seyupasakahaya trivila prakara kama moksha kama sarva kama ara. The devotees are divided into three categories: akama, desireless; moksha kama, desiring liberation; sarva kama, desiring material perfection. So, I think most of us are sarva kama. We want something in this material world. We want yogic power, or yogic powers is something different. But we want money and fast cars and. If you're young, you may want to have so many things. You're interested in opulence, a big house, and you want to spend so much money decorating your house. Actually, there was this one devotee. He was going to live, and he did live. This devotee was going to live as long, he had, well, as many years as Lord, let's see if I can explain it. He was going to live as long as many, many lifetimes of Lord Brahma. The many lifetimes he was going to live as long as were numbered of Lord Brahma, were numbered by the hairs on his body, and he had a lot of hairs. And he never bothered to build himself a house. He was just living outside, and he was asked, why don't you build yourself a house? And he said, life is temporary. Don't want to waste any time. So here's another famous verse, which I quote often. Akama sarvakama va moksha kama daradita vrena bhakti yogena pishetu purusham param, which basically means that whatever you desire, tivrena, we actually use this word in class this morning. Tivra means very forceful. So you should be very enthusiastic and very forceful in devotional service. And whatever your sankalpa is, whatever your desire is, whatever your reason is, whatever your motivation is, use it to chant. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, he chanted with great enthusiasm, wanting a kingdom greater than Lord Brahma. Very forceful. But instead, we're performing devotional service like very, let's say, spaced out, lackadaisical. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. You know, it should be Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. I mean, you don't have to grimace like that. It should be Hare Krishna. You should be chanting like this is your last moment of life, your last moment to chant the Maha Mantra. That's how you should be chanting. With such, from the heart, and tears should be coming from your eyes like torrents of rain. If tears are not coming from your eyes like torrents of rain, it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam that your heart is like piece of steel or steel framed. One who is actually intelligent, although he may be a devotee free from material desires, a karmi desiring all kinds of material facilities, or a jnani desiring liberation, he should seriously engage in bhakti yoga for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Prabhupada here translates serious, but tivra means like forceful. Firm. Firm, it means like very forceful, intense, loyal, hankering. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. With your heart, with your emotions, not just with your brain. No wonder you don't hear your rounds. Because you're not focused on any sort of intention. You're just spaced out. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 2:3:10. Space cadet. Budiman arte adi vichara gyan haya nijikama lagya tabe krishne re vajaya. The meaning of the word udaradi is budiman, intelligent or considerate, because of this, even for one's own sense gratification, one engages in the devotional service of Lord Krishna. In other words, if one, even if one wants sense grad, which is not so intelligent, but one should be intelligent, how to get sense grad? Worship Krishna. You should understand that. Don't need to worship the demigods, because ultimately they need Krishna's permission to give you anything. So if you approach the boss, you can get a lot more. Just like if you wanted to get a Tesla, if you can actually approach Elon Musk, you should approach him rather than just his whatever employee. If you actually had a way to approach him in a friendship with him, and you do, Krishna's your friend, approach Krishna. Krishna is the Elon Musk of everything. So, oh my God, I get in trouble for that particular one. Bhakti vinu kona sadhana tite nare pala sava pala deya bhakti Swatantra Prabhala. The other processes cannot yield results unless they are associated with devotional service. Devotional service, however, is so strong and independent that it can give one all the desired results. In other words, whatever you want, approach Krishna and do it. You pray to Krishna, and Krishna will give it to you like he gave Dhruva Maharaj, a great kingdom, greater than that of Lord Brahma. But he was satisfied because he was a pure devotee simultaneously. Ajangalastananyanya sadhana daiva uribhaje buriman jana. With the exception of devotional service, all the methods of self-realization are like the nipples on the neck of the goat. Therefore, an intelligent person adopts only devotional service, giving up all the processes of self-realization. So the nipples on the neck of the goat, in other words, they don't give you milk. They're just decoration. Or sometimes I use the description of the eyes on a peacock feather. They don't see anything. I mean, they're good for Krishna. Krishna always has a peacock feather, but and his crown. But still, they don't see anything. Outside of devotional service, all the methods are useless. One has to be practical in this world, of course. Without devotional service, other methods for self-realization, spiritual life, are useless. Other methods cannot produce good results at any time, and therefore they're compared to the nipples on the neck of the goat. These nipples cannot produce milk, although it may appear that they can. An unintelligent person cannot understand that only devotional service can elevate one to the transcendental platform. Only by devotional service. This is not a sectarian thing. In any religion, if you serve God in love, bhaktimam avishamati yavanyas chasmi tadvataha. As Krishna says, only by devotion I can be known, by love. Because God being a person, like any person, you can only conquer them by love. Now here's a verse from the Bhagavad Gita. Chaturvidha bhajantimam jana sukhitana arjuna artagyasur artarti yani cha bharatarshava. Oh, best among the Bhartas, Arjuna. Four kinds of pious men render devotional service unto me: the distressed, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and he was searching for knowledge of the Absolute. In other words, these are the types of people who come to Krishna consciousness. Of course, these are not pure devotees, but these are specific motivations that people may have. I mean, for example, why did I come to devotional service? I wasn't in distress, I didn't desire wealth. Wasn't that inquisitive, but I was searching for the Absolute Truth. Yes, I was searching. It's a quotation from the Bhagavad Gita 7.16. The word sukritina is very important in this verse. Su means auspicious, and kriti means meritorious or regulated. Unless one follows the regulated principles of religious life, human life is no different from animal life. Religious life means following the principles of varna and ashram. In the Vishnu Purana, it is said, Varna shrama chara vata purushena parapuman vishnura rajate panta nanya tat tosha karanam. That's also in the Majjha Lila 8.58. According to religious life, society is divided into four social divisions, brahmacharya, vaishya, shudra, and the four spiritual divisions, brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. One needs to be trained to become a brahman, kshatriya, vaishya, or shudra, just as one is trained to become an engineer, doctor, or lawyer. Those who are properly trained can be considered human beings. If one is not trained socially and spiritually, that is, if one is uneducated and unregulated, his life is on the animal platform. Among animals, there is no question of spiritual advancement. Spiritual life can be attained by proper training, either by following the principles of varna and ashram, or by being directly trained in the bhakti school, by the methods of shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, parasevanam, archanam, bandhanam, dasham, satyam, atmani, venyam. Bhagavatam 7.5.23. Without being trained, one cannot be sukriti, auspicious. Persons who are sukriti approach Krishna when in distress, like the devotee Gachendra, that's the elephant, when he was in need of money. He was in distress. When in need of money, like Dhruva Maharaj, when inquisitive to understand the Supreme Being, the original source of everything, like the great sages headed by Shanagar, or when pursuing knowledge of the Absolute Truth, like Shukadeva Goswami. All such persons take to the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Okay, so today we did 95. Let's see. We did 61 to 95. We made quite a bit of progress. But these are very simple verses. Okay, so we are going to stop sharing, at least stop sharing the screen, and we are going to allow you to unmute yourselves. Hold on a second. You are now officially allowed to unmute yourself. So if you have a question, you can type in the question in the chat window, you can raise your hand, or you can unmute yourself. So who has a question? About anything? No one has a question. Okay, Zoom user has a question. That's a very interesting spiritual name, Mr. Zoom user.
Oh, that's me, Gurudev. I didn't realize I didn't change my name on it. Sometimes it comes out Zoom user, and I have to put my name there. I don't know why it does that. Maybe I have privacy settings or something. This is Krishna Kriya, the Zoom user.
I know, I can see. I think I'm not that old that I can't recognize you. Your voice is extremely unique.
I know.
And your visage is extremely unique.
So this is my question. Like, we're speaking about having really intense desire, you know, for advancing, just for pleasing Krishna, not even for advancing spiritual life, just to do really focused, you know, focused chanting and not spacing out. And as you were speaking about, you know, how we have to be really focused. And then we know there's no material impediments in devotional service, but then sometimes we might find that there seemingly appears to be material impediments that come through the body that make it difficult to carry out the intensity of the chanting like we would like to. Or
yes, well, actually, intensity doesn't necessarily mean intensity of sound vibration.
Right.
like we have this one devotee in the temple every morning. It's lucky I don't chant Jap in the temple, because I don't think I could chant Jap in the temple if he was there. And the way he chants is like physically very intense, but it's just, it drives me bananas. So intensity means intensity with emotion. And if there is some physical problem, usually, you know, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. So usually the emotions actually get much more intense. Isn't it? I mean, when you have some physical impediment or physical problem, then you're more likely to cry out to Krishna. Or when someone attacks you, you know, whether it's the problem is adhyatmik, adhibodhik, or adhidaivik. Those are the three types of miseries in this world. Adhyatmik means miseries from our body and mind. Adhibodhik means miseries from other living entities. Adhidaivik means miseries from the material energy. So the emotion itself that is coming from the heart is not really impeded by one's physical condition. But one, obviously, a physical condition can impede you from expressing that emotion in terms of, like, your, you know, facial characteristics. When I'm talking about, in other words, when I'm talking about it intensely, it's not, because the example I gave was like, Hare Krishna, and that's not really what I meant. You can be chanting intensely, just go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, you know, on your breath, or even in your mind, you can be chanting intensely. So there's no material condition that stops it. In fact, if there's a material condition, I mean problem, usually that helps us chant more intensely. Now, there's one material condition that may hurt us, which is when things are going well. Listen. Oh, here's an example. I mean, I'm sure people will be upset. Hopefully no one gets upset with me. Let's say you're a very young... all right. Make sure no one's watching. So let's say you're a very young boy or girl, and you come across, like, your ideal, you know, whatever. Then you get so enamored by your ideal boyfriend, girlfriend, or whatever, that you can't chant essentially, because that's mature. It's not that you can't, but you've actually made the decision to meditate on sense objects, and because of that you become enamored and you're just like in la la land. I think the real problem is when things go well that keeps us from chanting intensely. When we get the objects of our senses fulfilled, you know, like if someone, I mean, for example, or let's not use the example of boyfriend, girlfriends, because I know people get really upset with me over that. So let's use the example of when you're really hungry and someone puts a plate of, you know, pizza pie in front of you or something. And you smell the pizza, and the pizza, you know, whatever. It's going to be very hard to chant intensely because you're absorbed in sense gratification. So I think that's very hard. So that's the challenge. The challenge is when things are going well. When things are going bad, I mean, it's in my mind, it's actually easier. I remember the times when people attacked me and I didn't do anything wrong. And I'm not talking about physical attacking. And I didn't do anything wrong. And I just like took shelter of Krishna's names and my chanting was really intense. Okay. So, thank you, Zoom user.
That was so many rounds over that time.
Yeah, I mean, I chanted much more rounds then. And they were very intense, you know. I would just go away and chant rounds for like 6 hours a day and not think of anything else but Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And when things go well, you know, just riding the wave, you know, surfing the material energy, then it's hard to remember Krishna. So, okay, Madhava?
Hare Krishna, Dandavat Maharaj. So, yeah, and the same question along the chanting. So a lot of times what we do is really try to speed up chanting so quickly one can finish 16 rounds rather than maybe the good idea, whatever it takes to do 16, but one should be chanting with that emotion rather than rushing into trying to the check mark that, okay, I did 16 rounds. So we shouldn't rush. That's what you say.
We shouldn't rush. Although you can have your cake and eat it too. There are ways to chant really fast rounds and be really attentive. My personal experience is that when I'm most attentive, I'm chanting fast. And it's just very absorbed chanting, because then I'm just thinking of Krishna's holy names. And just like, Hare Krishna. And in my mind, I'm also chanting simultaneously with the vocal cords. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And it's just like ending into deep meditation on Krishna's holy names. When you think, when you're not engaging your mind in chanting, then everything is external, then your body is chanting, but it's on automatic. But when your mind is also chanting the holy name simultaneously, or thinking of Krishna's pastimes while you're chanting, but your mind is engaged, then you're more likely to chant quickly. Of course, it depends on the person. I mean, some people, just because of the structure of their mouth or something, they can't chant quickly. But the quick chanting shouldn't be forced. It shouldn't be, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You know, that's not even quick chanting. I mean, I can chant around in 5 minutes and be fully attentive. It's just like, to me, it's not forced. It's just very relaxed, giving myself to Krishna as I'm chanting, like Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I mean, that is really ecstatic. All right, yes, but that's a good point. One should force themselves to chant fast. And I think that that's the end. Uh-oh, Shalini. Okay, one more question from Shalini Prasad.
Hare Krishna Gurudev, it's Shama Priya.
Oh, Shama Priya, okay.
Thank you.
Didn't recognize you.
Sorry, yes, I had to change my name for another session with someone.
Yeah.
Got to change it back. With the sound vibration and chanting, the loudness of it, someone asked me how loud should we chant, and I suggested that because they say that the sound vibration keeps the focus on the chanting. So I said the sound vibration should be loud enough to keep your focus, but not to remove somebody else's focus if they are chanting in the room. Would that be a fair comment? I didn't really know.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah, that's actually good. Because if you interfere with someone else's chanting like people do, it would drives me crazy. I mean, I can't chant in a room where people are actually making a whole scene of chanting.
Yes.
That's good. All right, we have Dan now. Same station tomorrow. Thank you very much for joining us. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.